So they figured out how much I should have gotten in 11 years in kilo, what would be an appropriate amount, took that and put the whole bunch of it into a retirement account for me. And I thought, wow, God is so faithful. I never thought I'd get anything. You just keep your nose to the grindstone. Be faithful to give, even when nothing's coming in. And God says, I can give you the cattle on 1,000 hills. Just stay faithful. Because what he was building wasn't my bank account. He was building my faith account.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled 10 Times Financial Wisdom, where we began learning the STPs of being a Christian, things we need to do to keep from breaking down when the heat is on. S was for stewardship. Well, here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, 10 Times Financial Wisdom.
So the first is stewardship for STP. Let's take a look at the second one on the STP of a Christian. The T is tithing. Tithing, would you write that in, the tithe? The word tithe means a tenth, but not only that, it means the first tenth, not the second tenth, the third tenth, the last tenth, the first tenth. What was it to be used for? It was to be used for the poor and to spread the good news or the message of God. That's what it was instituted for in the very first place. In the agricultural world, they began with something called gleaning. You'll read about that in the book of Ruth, where they would purposely, intentionally leave stalks of barley behind so that the poor could come in and, what was the word? Glean. Glean. They would pick up the extra that was left, and they were to leave about a tenth. Then became more production oriented, so the agriculturalists would take a tenth of their fruit and they would give not second fruits, third fruit, last fruit. The Israelites would bring what as an offering? Their first fruits. Not the last tenth, it was the what? First tenth. So they would come and offer that to God. Then farmers would take 10 acres, they would say everything that's made off of this 1 acre is going to be called, and they used to call it the Lord's acre. The Lord's acre. So whatever was produced, that money, it was almost like a secondary company, would be given completely to God to help the poor and to spread the gospel. And then it went from the agrarian age into the industrial age, where you didn't get fruit or produce, you got a paycheck. And it is then we as God's people take not the last tenth, but the very first tenth, and we give that to God for the spreading of the gospel and to help the poor. Same thing. It's been a generation to generation practice of Christians from the earliest times. And it's spoken of in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's something that we must do intentionally. It's not an afterthought. Why? Let's read it together, Deuteronomy chapter 14, and you'll see the principle. Go. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to put God first place in your life. What's the purpose of tithing? To put God
first place.
Very simple principle. Here it is. Whatever you want God to bless, put Him first in. You want God to bless your marriage? Put Him first in your marriage. You want God to bless your home? Put Him first in your home. You want God to bless your dating? Put Him first in your dating. You want God to bless your finances? Put Him first in your finances. So a people of the tithe isn't just money in church. People of the tithe is we learn to put God first in how much? In everything. And I say this to young ladies, if you want God to bless your dating, you put God first in your dating. And if that boyfriend of yours doesn't want Him first, then this is what I suggest to the girls. I say, when you go on a date, take the Bible and put it between you and the guy. Why? Because if the guy gets a little, you know, handily and a little bit frisky, he's got to get over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before he gets to you. And if he succeeds, he gets the axe. Put God first. And whatever you want God not only to bless, but whatever you want God to protect, to protect. What do you mean? Well, let's read what it says here in the book of Malachi. Go. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Here it is. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, says the Lord. Listen carefully. One of the best things I did when I was younger is that I decided to rearrange my life so that I could honor God first. And when I made that decision to be a tither, to honor God first, it changed the way I saw life, my work ethic, how I saved, everything. Because when you start to tithe, you don't have to. See, nobody's going to check up on you. So what it taught me was to be honest and committed, even though nobody sees. You see how that transfers to a marriage? It taught me to be wise in my finances, and it taught me to be wise in all the decisions. It taught me to stay committed and endure with honesty. And because I had to plan for that, it taught me to be creative. And it taught me to try to be more creative in my work than to rob God. Because if I couldn't give my tithe, I wouldn't keep it. I'd give it and then figure out, say, God, I need to earn something here. And God taught me to be more innovative and creative. I remember when I was in Hilo as a young pastor, I got $500 a month. That was my pay. I had two kids. And they said, that's all we can afford. And so I went out and I began singing everywhere I could for a dollar or two. I would sing, this sounds crazy, but I'd sing for weddings. I'd do a budget wedding. I'd perform the wedding. And then I'd sing for them when they go down the aisle. It says $50 for the wedding, $50 for the song, you know? And so they would pay. And then I'd speak anywhere I could. And then I would write songs for a publishing company. I wrote choruses and songs like you just heard. And so I got funding from there, money from there. And then publishers saw it. And then I began writing more and more and more. And actually, and now I've done 13 books. But I look back then, and it was because I decided to rearrange my life to honor God. And a lot of the gifts that were latent in my life came to the surface because I chose to honor God. You don't know it at the time. You have no idea. And then there at Hilo, I was there for 11 years, and so I faithfully would tithe, and we just didn't have that much money, and so we did what we could, and I would, as I said, speak and sing and write songs, and we'd make a few more dollars here and there, and I bought a house for $73,000. That's to tell you how bad the house, it was crooked, it was condemned, the floor was off, and so I had to fix everything up, learn to do some carpentry, learn to work a jack and post and pier and cement foundations and raise this up and do all of that, but it just caused me to be a little bit more ingenious. I had to rebuild some engines on a car just to keep it going. But it's okay. I could either complain or get more creative. It's up to you. I tell people, when you first start to serve God, try to do the will of God with the least dependence on money. Because then you're going to learn innovation, creativity, entrepreneurship. You'll start to work smarter, not harder. You'll develop a work ethic that's fabulous. But if it's all given to you and you don't have to give back, you'll never learn that stuff. And it's all latent potential here, and it'll never surface because nothing's tested here. You don't have to be honest here because nobody knows. But God's word is always true. And when you follow God's word, even though you don't understand, all these things start to surface. And you think, wow, and later on, as I said, the things that I'm enjoying now is because of decisions I made when I was back in the 20s and 30s. I came here to New Hope, and I didn't have any retirement because we didn't have any. But I knew I needed to stay faithful to Christ, and thank God for our board one day met with me. And the church had grown so much after about 3 years, and we had a great savings, and they realized I had zero retirement after now being pastoring New Hope churches for about 15 years. So they said, you know, you've never gotten a retirement. Nope. So they figured out how much I should have gotten in 11 years in Hilo, what would be an appropriate amount, took that and put the whole bunch of it into a retirement account for me. And I thought, wow, God is so faithful. I never thought I'd get anything. You just keep your nose to the grindstone. Be faithful to give, even when nothing's coming in. And God says, I can give you the cattle on 1,000 hills. Just stay faithful. Because what he was building wasn't my bank account. He was building my faith account. It's a boot camp for the treasures. Well, I began to write, and I wrote a book called Leading on Empty, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with the royalties on this? And I just felt the Lord say, I want you to give all of that. And because it was reminiscent of when I first came here to New Hope, the very first check I got, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to give that whole thing. Just turn it over and sign it and put it back in the offering. Do you know how hard that is to do? But I said, why, God? He said, because it's going to be called a burnt offering. I want your heart wholly here. I want you to turn that check over and give a burnt offering. And what God was doing was he was developing my heart of commitment. All of those things, you don't understand. You just do. And then later on, you say, voila. Well, with this one, the leading on empty, I said, okay, God, I'll give the royalties the first year that it comes in. And I thought it'd be just X amount. Well, it happened to be 3 times that amount. So I looked at the check that I got from the writer's royalty, from the publisher, and I said, Lord, I think you made a mistake. You didn't really want me to give all of this, did you? You just wanted me to tithe off of it. Same thing, sign it, hand it over. And I thought, oh, God, I can sure use it. But God's always faithful. You can never outgive the Lord. You spoonful it in, he shovels it back out. Because it wasn't more than a year later, we sold our apartment that we had purchased some years before. And the amount I gave, the Lord and prophet gave me 10 times back. And I look at that and I think, God, you are so faithful, aren't you? You don't know it. Remember, you don't know it when you're going through it. But faith is living in advance what you will only experience and understand in reverse. You see, you cannot say to the fireplace, give me heat and then I'll give you wood. No, you always give and it shall be given unto you. And that's with tithing, see? I give and God replies. It's called faith. And all the things that were potential begins to increase. Can I encourage you with this? You cannot afford not to tithe. Because all of your potentiality, remember, how shall I give you true gifts? That's what he's saying. Do you know how many gifts are in you, in your family, in your future, with your kids, with who you are? It's only in latent form. And how am I going to unlock it? By asking you to be faithful. And then watch what God does. I tell you, his word is faithful. His word is faithful. And you know what Malachi says? Test me on this and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing that you cannot even sustain. And I tested God because he said so. And I'm here to tell you today that God is faithful.
Amen. Amen.
T is for tithing. And then the last is the P. And the P stands for planning. Planning. Let's read what the scripture says under that P. Go. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him. You always plan. Even in sports today, you can see that we always set goals. You never start a race out without a finish line or a goal, right? On your mark, get set, bang, and they just run, 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 anywhere, run, 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 run. Like, what? You better have a goal. Brrr, ball goes up, and now just dribble, just dribble, dribble anywhere, just shoot, shoot, just throw the ball, throw the ball. No, you have a goal. baseball, bang, just run. Get the ball, throw it to one another. Throw it to one another. Run, run, just anywhere, run. If you got a ball and a guy is running, what are you going to do? If there's no rules, you're going to bean the guys, what you're going to do. And that's what happens without goals. We just start beaning each other because we don't know what to do. And the Bible is saying no one goes to war, no one builds a tower without writing out some goals and plans a little bit. That's why the scripture says this. Read it. Go. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to... You know what the Bible's saying? It is diligent to plan. The diligent people plan. You've got to plan. I plan. I write out goals. I have them on my phone, on my computer, in my life planner. I've got goals all the way out to 70 years old. That's like 20 years down the road for me. That's true. I just get there in half the time. But I've got it all the way out to 70, and I write them out and detail them out as much as I can. Do they change? Sure they do. But you know what it does? It gives me a pathway in my mind and what to say no to and what to say yes to. Because if you don't have plans, what do you know what to say no to or what to say yes to? See, remember, not every opportunity comes from the throne. It can come from the pit. But if you don't have any plans that are set for you, what are you going to say no to? And the clearer you picture, the clearer you get that target, the more apt you are to hit it. And so I plan it out. I ask God, what is it for my family? What should I do? What's the best ending? What would be the best legacy to leave, God? And I start that way and I write it down. Mark McCormick wrote a book, What They Don't Tell You in Harvard. And one of the chapters is why do 3% of the Harvard MBAs make 10 times as much as the other 97%? Here it is. In 1979, interviewers found the new graduates from Harvard's MBA course. And here's what they found. 84% had no goals at all of the graduating class. 84%, no goals. They're just glad to graduate. 13% had goals, but they weren't written down. They were just in their heads. Only 3% had written their goals and planned things out. Only 3%. 10 years later, remember the 13% that had goals in their heads but hadn't written them down? 13%, they were making twice as much as the other 84% that graduated from Harvard. But here is the amazing thing. The 3% that had clear written goals made 10 times as much as the other 97% combined. Some people say, you know, Wayne, I don't know. You have to write down all your goals and stuff, you know, with your life. Oh, man, that's a lot. It takes time. I don't have time to write down my goals. And I say to them, if you don't have time to write down your goals, then where are you going to find the time to accomplish them? You must plan. Methods are many. Principles are few. Methods always change. Principles never do. STP. So you don't break down when the heat goes up. S is what? Stewardship. Doesn't start with money. It starts with what you have. How are you stewarding it? Are you cleaning it? Taking care of it? Is it being maintained? From the beginning of time, God put them in the garden, Adam and Eve, and said, maintain this now. Don't let it go bad. Because if we can't do that, why should he give us money or prosperity or abundance? We'll lose that too. It's a boot camp. And then he says, tithe. Can you do things when you don't even understand it? Just because my word now tells you that and says to do it here, you don't understand. But what I'm going to do, the Bible says, I'm going to unlock the potentiality that you have as you are a faithful tither. And down here, you'll say, that's why, even though I struggled and I had to learn to write or sing or this, right now, what God has brought through that, like, 10 times, 10x, exponentially more. And then I understood if it was all handed to me there, I wouldn't have what God was preparing me for. If I hadn't given when He asked me to give, I wouldn't have the committed, the deep heart that I have now. All of that has a purpose. I didn't understand it back here, but God's word said to do it. I did, and I realized you can never outgive God. And then P, planning. Plan it. Plan it. Because when you get everything together, you start to become rich towards God. Stewardship, tithing, and P is for planning. Now you say, well, is that just about money, Wayne? Oh, no, no, no. In fact, a disclaimer at the end, you'll see that scripture, what profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? It's about your soul. It's about who God created you to be, and the principles will help you to become that. Methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change. God's principles never do. If you've never received Christ, I want to encourage you to do so. He will give you the strength and the power to do what His word says, because the power does not lie within us. It lies within Christ. And if you don't know Christ, then who are people going to see when they look at you? If He does not live in your heart, they might see a religious person, a spiritual person, a philosophical person, a weird person, but they won't see Christ. A lot of people say, well, I just want them to see a spiritual person. No one's ever gotten saved by seeing a spiritual person. You want them to see whom? Christ. So if I don't receive Christ in my life, I can exude spirituality, but that never helps anybody. You must represent Christ. And what profits a man if he gains the whole world but doesn't have Christ in his soul? So if you've never made that decision, do so today. Would you bow your heads? Lord, I want to pray for this fabulous, fabulous group of people called New Hope. Oh, we're learning so much about the principles of your word. That's so applicable in everything we do. But we know that the greatest principle of all is that which is most eternal, and that is our relationship with you. Because we can learn biblical principles that help us towards abundance on the earth, but if we miss the most eternal principle of your word that gives us security forever, then we miss it. So, Lord, we ratchet all the way back to you and the redemption of the cross. So, Father, we draw people to you. May they see you in us. And may these who have never received you, may they see you today. With your heads bowed, and if you're here in this auditorium or watching through the internet, if you've never received Christ, now is your time to do it. Even if you're joining us from different areas of the world, you too, God may be speaking to you about His eternal purposes for your life. And here in this room, never let His word, His touch, go unresponded to. Your eternity may be held in the balances right now. We don't know what tomorrow holds. So if we ignore His invitation today, it may be to your peril. You never know. But we do know that God is giving us an opportunity to secure our eternity with Him today. If you're not sure where you stand with Christ today, make sure. Drive that stake of faith to say, today I said yes to Jesus Christ. Today I asked Him for forgiveness. Today I asked Him for a second chance. Today I asked Him to come into my life so that people might see Christ. Bow your heads with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your grace on our lives. We ask that you would be with these who said yes to you. We ask that you would be with these who have given their hearts to you. And may this be the first day of the rest of their lives in Christ. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled 10 Times Financial Wisdom by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
Do you ever feel anxious or worried? If you do, can I encourage you? Your life is like a canoe. It's being paddled in a particular direction. It may be towards your calling, or it may be away from your calling, but you are in the steersman's seat. Your destination will be determined by what you choose to steer that canoe with. Are you steering your canoe with the paddle of anxiety? Maybe you're steering holding on to worry. In moments when you feel anxiety, remember that there are many others in your boat who are there to support you. Realize that your self-worth is more important than what's inducing anxiety in the first place. Your life is greater than your present moment, and your purpose is too important to quit right now. Paddle toward your purpose, and when you do, you'll find that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.